It's good to see you here today. My name's John. I'm the assistant pastor here. I have a quick update from our lead pastor and his wife, Pastor Carl and Pastor Sandra. They are in Zambia right now. They announced that last week they were going, so they left on Monday, went to Zambia. They're doing great. We have a couple pictures they're going to put up on the screen. They are having a wonderful time. They did a graduation for some Bible schools we launched there 2 years ago. They have about 105 graduates going through that are pastors that are being equipped to do ministry in their villages, in their towns, their cities, wherever they go. So you can see the impact with 105 graduates. That's potentially thousands and thousands of people that are being touched and impacted on a weekly basis for the gospel, and because we have been able to train these pastors in the work of their ministry. So this is awesome, and really all thanks to you guys who have given, who have supported, made it possible for us to sow into the country of Zambia. And we do this in the DR as well, and in Haiti we have Bible schools. So this is a wonderful ministry we get to participate in because of the church, which is you, being willing to give and support and be a part of this. So while they're there, they ministered the graduation. I believe they have one more graduation happening in another area to finalize their graduation ceremonies. And then they're doing a facilitator training in 35 to 40 more new Bible schools that are being launched when they're there. So awesome, awesome time. Please keep them in prayer as they are ministering, as they are doing the Lord's work over there. Just keep them in your prayers for safety and traveling. I heard once they got there, it all went good, but getting from the airport to the city they were ministering in usually does not take 21 hours, but in this case, it did, so it was a long trip for them, but they'll be all right. This is what they're in for. That's how missions go sometimes, right? So since we're on the talk of missions, if you are interested, right after this service, over here on the front, my left, your right of the sanctuary, we will be having a meeting for anybody that is interested in being boots-on-the-ground missionary to the DR with us this summer. We're planning two different trips, potentially, one in July, one at the end of August. If you are at all interested in missions, being a part of that, going to the Dominican Republic to be a missionary there, be involved in this, just meet with us after service, and we'll give you all the information. You're not committed to it once you come to the meeting. It just gives you the information, and you can see if it's something that fits with what you believe God is calling you to do and participate in, because we want to equip you and empower you to do work as well that God has called us to. So this is an awesome thing we get to do as a church body, and I invite you, if you're interested, just meet me over there after service. I would love to chat with you about it too. So, since we're talking about missions so much, my intro story here is actually about a mission trip that I went on years ago. In 2009, I had the opportunity to lead a mission trip to Romania and Hungary. So it was fun. We had a bunch of different ministers that we supported here at this church, and they had organizations and different churches and things going on in those areas and different cities throughout those countries. So they asked us if we could come and help them do some evangelism, some training of their people in that, and doing some skits and doing different things like that. So we said yes. So I got to lead a team of about six young adults at that point. They were still teenagers, I believe, and I was just 22. So we're there, we're having a great time, people are coming to the Lord, we're equipping the church to do the work of the ministry, things are going great, and because we were going to all different cities and countries and stuff, we had to rent a van when we were there. So I was the driver, because everybody else was too young to be on the insurance and stuff, so I was the automatic driver, so I'm driving everybody around, and we get going, and then one day we hop in the van, and this is like midway through the trip, we hop in the van, we start going, and the van's just sluggish, just like it's not going anywhere. Hardly at all. So super slow moving. And I'm like, guys, something's wrong with the van. And we might have to call somebody. I'm not sure what's going on. And then we come to a stoplight. And right past the stoplight is this incline, this hill that's going up. And so I get to the base of that hill, just crawling up to it. And I'm literally pushing the pedal to the metal. I'm like, guys, we're not getting up this hill. This is not working out. So I think we're going to have to pull over and call somebody and figure out what's going on. And there was just no oomph at all with this. Now I'm like, guys, I'm literally flooring it. This isn't working. And then a voice comes from the back of the van and says, did you check the e-brake? I said, of course I checked the e-brake. As I put my hand down and feel that it's still on, I release that e-brake, and all of a sudden, it's miraculous. The van's working, right? Everything's going as it should. So to this day, I've never left an e-brake on again. But I tell you this story not to make myself look like an idiot, but I think as it is in our lives, we sometimes do this in our relationship with God, right? Maybe you feel you're putting all your effort in, you're grinding, you're doing as best as you can, and you're not getting any forward motion. You just feel like it's just no oomph to your life. You're taking one step forward and two steps back, and it's just like, I'm not getting to the destination I want. And it's like spiritually in your life, your e-brake is on, that something is holding you back. Something's keeping you from experiencing the fullness of what God has for you. And today, I want to talk to you about a principle found in God's Word that I believe can help you with this. Because I'm sure there's individuals here that you feel this. There's seasons in my life I've felt this. There's, even as recently as this last week, there's times where I'm doing things, I'm grinding, and it's like, God, what's going on? And God points out a small adjustment, an e-brake that needs release, something that needs turned off or unloaded or unpacked, so then you're released to do what God is calling you to do, and you're empowered to do it. So let's talk about this today. This is called the principle of partnership, and it's found in the passage of Matthew chapter 11. It's where we're going to camp most of today, even starting at verse 28. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This sounds like an amazing promise, right? It sounds really good. Who could use a little more rest in their lives, right? Yeah, I think many of us could. So let's unpack this. Let's talk about this today. Because I feel it's important, and this is what we try to do here at church, and this is why I believe many of you are here, is you want to discover things that you can apply to your life that'll help your life be better so you can follow God better, because Jesus has a better way for us, right? And that's why we come to church. This is why we teach up here. This is why we preach, why we proclaim God's good news, is because if we apply it to our lives, it's like a seed that we plant. Eventually, we will get a harvest for it if we don't give up, is what God's Word promises us. So we want to give you some more seed today, some ways that you can apply this principle of partnership to your life so that you can walk in this life that Jesus tells you, this life with some rest in it. So come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So the first point that we want to talk about here is rest is promised to those who pursue Christ. Okay, in the passage I just read, I'm going to read it one more time. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So this is a grand invitation that Christ gives to who? To all people, it says, right? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. The word weary here means worn out, tired, exhausted. Some people can relate to that, right? Maybe as much sleep as you get, you still feel tired when you wake up. You still feel drained of energy, feel worn out, run down. Sometimes this happens, right? And Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened in this translation, it says, which that word means like overburdened. You feel you're carrying too much, like you're cracking under the weight of it. It's more than you can bear is what this is talking about. And there's rest for you. So how do we activate this? How do we walk in this rest that Jesus has for us? So the first step is to pursue Him. And this is what Jesus calls us to. He says, I have a better way. He gives us this invitation, says, come to me, which then implies we have to turn from our way of doing it. Right? And this is a tough thing because we like doing it our way. We're comfortable with our way. Even if we know it's not best, right? Maybe you can relate to that. A certain system you have at work or something, it may not be the best way, but it's your way, so you stick with it, right? You know, it might be like, I'm familiar with this, so I'm not going to learn that yet because I'm not comfortable with it. And this is Jesus saying, forsake that. Give up your way of doing it and come and do it my way because I have a better way for you. This is an amazing promise He has for us. And I think for us as Christians, we sometimes get stuck in this because Jesus invites us to do it His way. He invites us to come and receive the rest, but we don't give the time or the energy to discovering, to pursue Him and His concepts, His ways of doing things. So for instance, finances, right? The Bible says a ton about how we manage our finances. But at times, as Christians, we don't give the time it needs. We don't manage it according to those biblical principles. We don't try to apply them to our lives, and we just do what we've been taught, what we feel like, what we've seen the culture or the world around us do, and how we manage our finances. And Jesus says, I have a better way so you can experience the supernatural empowerment that I have for your finances, if you'll do it my way. Along with that, we here, because we believe this is an important area too, then there's many different important areas. Maybe it's not finances. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's how you raise your kids, how you talk to your family members, how you treat other people. Whatever it is, God has a way for it. He has principles that if you apply, you'll experience his blessings in it. So going back to the financial part, we have a financial course called Financial Peace University that was supposed to start last week. Because of a few circumstances, it got postponed to this week. So the good news is, it's not too late. If this is an area you want to advance in, you want to grow in, you can sign up for that class on your app or through the website. You can be a part of that. And it teaches you the principles. And let me tell you too, this is not some brainwashing thing where no principle in there says, give all your money to the church. There's nothing like that. You don't have to be scared to worry about it. But it teaches the biblical concepts of how to manage your money. How to put God first in that area of your life. Because when we do that, it works, and it's a better way of living our lives. Not just in finances, but in every area. So what does putting God first in my marriage look like? What does putting God first in my family, in my relationships with coworkers, with my relationships with other people that I interact with? What does that look like? And it's a better way, one that we're not burdened and we're not weighed down and exhausted and stressed about all the time because we're doing it his way, which is a better way. Point number two says, rest is promised to those who partner with Christ. So I'm going to read verse 29 here. It says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So he doubles down on this promise now of rest for you. But here he's talking about a yoke. And so in his time, when he spoke this word, there was no confusion at all of what he was talking about. But because we're not in a farming community per se, technology has changed in advance, we sometimes hear this and we wonder, what's he talking about an egg for? I don't understand. What's he mean and everything? So let me take a second and explain this to you, okay? The yoke was a piece of farming equipment. And what it involved was a piece of wood that went over the shoulders of some ox or oxen. And they would pull a plow or a wagon or something, but the yoke was the piece that tied them together so they could accomplish the work together. I have a picture of it right here. So the yoke was that wooden part in between the two cows, and it went over their shoulders, and then they got latched in with those parts that are under their neck. So then you could harness this to a wagon, to a plow, whatever you were looking to accomplish, and they could pull that weight. And you could also do multiples of these. So if you needed a heavy load pulled, you would tie a bunch of them together, and they would work that way. So it was a piece of farming equipment, is what he's talking about. So this connotates a removal of your yoke, what you've been carrying, the weight, the things you've been bearing. It talks about unloading that and taking his yoke and putting it on you. So it's interesting because with yokes, it was always done in multiples. You wouldn't use a yoke for one ox. You would use it if you were partnering them together. And in their training, what they would do if you had a young oxen that you were training, you would always partner it with your most seasoned ox. So that if it went to go one direction, it would kind of be brought into submission and overpowered and forced to do it the way that the path they were supposed to walk in and things. And so this connotates an invitation that Jesus gives us. He says, take off the yoke you're using and put on my yoke, which connotates a partnership with him. So think about this. You're carrying a load, right? So you're walking, you've got this load on your shoulder. So you got to remove that one and put on his. And in context, if you hear this or you think about this, it feels like, okay, so I'm just giving up one burden for another. But think of it like this. You're in the yoke with Christ. Think about this. The creator of the universe, the one that designed you and me, that overcame death, grave, and the sin, he is walking with that weight with you now. So now you're not feeling the weight of it on you because he's carrying the brunt of it. And now you're going for a walk with Christ. But that burden isn't weighing you down anymore. It's not overburdening you because you've partnered with him. So now we're walking together to accomplish his will and his plans and his purposes. And you're not overburdened by it anymore. Doesn't that sound great? So there's a couple factors in this that we have to address. So why do some of us as Christians, if this is what Jesus invites us into, and we've said yes to Christ, we're Jesus followers, we're trying to do it his way, why do we still feel burdened or exhausted or weighed down? So two things came to mind as I was preparing this, and I think this is something that God has given me to speak on with this context. The two things are we've added things to the load that he's never designed us to carry. You've said yes to a few too many things. You've filled your schedule, and God's saying, listen, I'm not in that. It might not even be sinful. Sometimes it could be sinful. Maybe you're doing something that the Word clearly says not to do, and you're trying to do it. So I think of the idea of forgiveness, right? God's Word gives us clear principles, instructions on that we're to forgive those that wrong us, love those that hurt us, do those kinds of things. And we're carrying this unforgiveness, and it's a weight on you. It will make you feel exhausted carrying that because you were never designed to carry it. And God's called you to forgive. So until you unload that weight, you do the hard thing, you're carrying a weight you weren't designed to do. And we do this in our lives. We add things to the load. Sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes it's something that just consumes too much of your time. And we add these things to our lives, not realizing that it's making us burdened, weary, overladen, and making us feel worn out. But God has a better way for us. And he invites us into that better way. So that's the one thing, is possibly there's some things we've added to our load that we need to unload again. We need to take off. The second thing is, okay, we've said yes to Jesus, we're in the yoke with him, we're walking along, but he starts taking us in a direction we don't like. A part of us says, I don't want to be a little uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to these people about you. I don't want to do this thing or that thing. So I'm starting to pull this way. And so you feel the weight of the burden because you're going in a different direction than God is trying to lead you in. So then I see two options as a result of that. The one is you take off the yoke and you walk away, which I don't recommend to anybody because he's got a better way. The other option is you choose to submit to his direction. You say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this your way. I'm going to start walking with you. I'm going to start going the direction. I'm going to do the hard things that you're telling me to do, knowing that in that is the rest that you actually have for me. Which sounds counterintuitive, but that's the reality of it, is that in that he has the rest for us. So he's inviting us into a better way. But we have to lay aside our way of doing it and take on his way of doing it. As I was preparing this message, I really felt heavy on my heart that God spoke to me and said, there's going to be some people listening who are struggling with trusting God in different areas of their life because of past things, traumas that you've experienced, hurts, things that feel like disappointments or letdowns, whatever it might be, that you struggle with trusting God and you say, this sounds too big, too far away for me to trust God. And I believe God spoke to me and he said, tell them that I love them, and to start where they can. I'm not mad at them, but start where you can. So if you can't trust God with this big thing, start where you can trust God in some area so he can show himself faithful to you. Because he is faithful and he wants to show you that he is faithful, he has meaningful things for you, and he's got a great plan and a great purpose for your life. So start wherever you can to trust him. It might feel small to you. And now this isn't like, okay, God, I'm going to go do this thing, and if you don't make this happen, I can't trust you. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a childish view of this. But it's, okay, I'm going to forgive that person that hurt me that I've been carrying for so long. And I'm going to see if God frees me in this area, if God can help me in this. And you make the decision, and you step out in the principle. So you do what God says to do, and that's what trust is. That's what faith activated looks like, is you hear the principle, you hear what God wants you to do, and you align your life with it. You say, yes, I will do that. I'm going to start loving my neighbor as I love myself. I'm going to start doing these different things that God has called me to do and told us as Jesus followers to do. Now, I've been talking about this great deal, and there's one more point I want to make on this as well, but before I get to that, there may be some people here who you're hearing this, you're saying, this sounds like a great deal, but I've never said yes to Jesus, I've never partnered with him, and I want to make that available to you today. And if you're here, I just want to pause for a moment, if we could even bow our heads, close our eyes, just nobody looking around, I'm not here to embarrass anybody or call anybody out, but I want to give you the opportunity, if you're here, and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want this rest that he promises, you say, I want to pursue him, I want to partner with him. If that's you today, just raise your hand right now as everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Okay, I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Yep, I see that hand back there. That hand there. Thank you. I see those hands back there. Wonderful. So I see about 6-7 people here that want to say yes to Christ, and I love that. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you, guys. What we're going to do is corporately, we're going to pray together. Okay? And this is, there's nothing magical about these words, but this is just we're inviting Jesus to come and take, when I say take control, it's not like a possession kind of thing, but it's more so we're surrendering to his will with our lives is what we're doing. So let's take a moment and do that. Again, with every head bowed, you can repeat after me, and we'll do this all together. So thank you so much. Lord Jesus, I thank you for taking the weight of my sin. I surrender to you my life. I want to partner with you, and I repent of doing it my way, my sins. Please come into my life and lead and guide me. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. Amen. That's a huge, huge decision you just made that will change the rest of your life. I invite you as well, at the end of the service, please come and see me even before the meeting. If you made that decision for the first time, I want to walk with you. I want to tell you a little bit more about it. I'll be brief, I promise. I won't take up your whole day or anything. But come and see me. I want to equip you with some tools that will help you as you journey through this life with God. So that is exciting and amazing that you made that decision. So thank you for doing so. God's got great things for you, so I'm so blessed by that. Amen. All right, so our last point here, and this might feel obvious to many of you who are here, but it's Christ's way is the best way. So our final verse in this passage says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you've been walking with Jesus for any length of time, you probably are thinking to yourself, I don't know about this. There's times Jesus has asked me to do stuff and it didn't feel very easy. And you're actually right, because the word here for easy, we hear it and we think of like little or no effort, which is not what this word easy means. It actually, in the direct translation, when you go back to the source, means easier than the alternative, or better, more productive, is what it actually means. Okay, so when we hear easy, our minds goes to lack of effort, I don't even have to try. That's not what this is talking about, okay? So make no confusion with that. It still requires movement. It still requires effort. It requires commitment and discipline and all of these things on our part. But it's far easier than trying to do it on our own. Just like the e-brake illustration I gave at the start, right? So it's like driving your car with the e-brake on versus actually taking it off. Sure, you could make some motion, but you're making a lot of smoke, putting a lot of effort in, burning a lot of gas and hardly getting anywhere. Versus when you partner with Christ, how it's easier, and you're just empowered and supernaturally flowing in the great things he has for you. And many of you that just received Christ, this is what you're doing. You're taking that e-brake off in your life. You're saying, great, I'm going to activate doing it God's way. And you're going to see, you're going to have incredible encounters with individuals. God's going to move in your life. He's going to do great things through you because you made that decision today. And it's the same for you who are here, and you're saying, there's something else in my life that I've just been doing just wrong. And I'm tweaking it, I'm bringing it in alignment to God's way of doing it, and you're going to experience fulfillment and supernatural empowerment and God blessing it and being able to accomplish great things through that. because of the decisions we make today. There's this amazing principle called synergy, right? Synergy, what that means is basically two partners working together can accomplish more than the single individuals can on their own. So if I can lift 200 pounds and Norman can lift 300 pounds, mathematically you would say we could lift 500 pounds. But the reality is, with synergy, we could probably lift closer to 700 pounds together versus that, like, mathematically aspect. So multiplication happens when people are partnered together. So I mentioned this earlier with our yoke illustration. When we're partnered with Christ, who literally has no limits, the word says nothing is impossible with him. Think of the incredible things you can accomplish because you're partnered with him. You're working in his principles. You're doing the things he has called you to do. Now there's no limits. Now again, this isn't for you to do what you want to do. This is for you to do what God has for you to do. And you're partnered with him and you're able to accomplish it. And can I tell you? God wants good things for you in that too. He's not going to lead you down a path that's bad for you. It might be challenging at times. It might take sacrifice at times. But it's always for your good because he loves you and he cares about you. And so the best thing we can do is partner with him. We can say yes to him and say, God, I want to be in the yoke with you. I'm going to take your burden on because I realize your burden is better. It's easier. It's better for me, more productive. I want to be on board with that. And church, I hope that's your heart today. That you say, I want to accomplish what God wants. Because I can't tell you the incredible things you will accomplish as an individual and we will accomplish as a church if we can all get on the same page with this and say, yes, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to partner with it and I want to experience whatever that is, whatever that means, whatever it costs. Because it's going to be better for us and it's going to be better for the kingdom, better for everybody we interact with. Because that synergy happens then too. So, I mentioned two things earlier. One of them was that we sometimes add to our load, the weight that we carry. So I want to ask you point blank, is there something in your life that you're carrying that God says, I haven't called you to carry that? So as you're thinking about that, as we're winding down today, I want you to think about that. Is there something that I've added to this load that's burdening me, making me feel weighed down, heavy, tired all the time, exhausted? And Jesus is saying, pursue me, which means do it my way. Get in the yoke with me, which means taking off your way of doing it. So you got to unload those things that he's saying, this isn't the season, this isn't the time for that. Maybe it's sinful, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a hobby, a habit, something that you've always done. But he's saying, listen, this has to go for you to experience the rest I have for you. I want to invite you to stand to your feet if you're able to. Every time I preach, I ask that you ask God this question. You can do it verbally out loud. You can do it to yourself, however you're comfortable. But say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Because I believe each and every person here, we have a next step to make. We have something we need to do to be more in alignment with God, to take that e-brake off in our life so we can be free to launch into the great things he has for us. So Holy Spirit, right now, I ask that you would pinpoint in individuals' lives today what it is you're working on, what it is you're calling them to surrender, to unload, to stop trying to carry. Because we know you have a better way. So help us to walk in your better way today, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just speak a blessing over each person here. I ask that you would supernaturally empower them to activate this principle of partnership in their life. That they'll say yes to you, that we won't pull away, we won't add to the load, but we'll just say, God, whatever you want to do, I want to do. We surrender to you freshly today. Say, God, have your way in this place, have your way in the lives of the individuals that are here that are willing to say, God, I want more of you. Just make yourself even more real to them. Your word promises that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So we activate that today. We're here drawing near to you. Make yourself known to your people in a more clear and a better way as they go about their lives this week, Lord. Bless them as they activate this principle, as they join with you in the great things you want to do. I can't wait to hear the testimonies that they have of the great things you're accomplishing in their lives, Lord. Bless them as they go. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. If there's anything more I can pray for you for, or any questions you have, feel free to come and see me.